stainless. Enjoy the pain with accepting your grief. Are you finished? Don't be open question. Don't let yourself fall asleep. Resurrect the attention. Once your vision is now mass produced, imagine the insult's a blessing. Imagine accepting the truth. Imagine accepting the truth.
Welcome to CTV News Trendline with Michael Stittle and Nick Nanos.
We recently did a survey for the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness, and we've been tracking how worried or not worried people are about paying for the rent or paying for the mortgage in the next 30 days. And what's interesting is the trend. So back in 2020, we had a benchmark. You know, we asked people how they felt about paying the rent or the mortgage in the next 30 days. About 16% were worried or somewhat worried. About 82 or 8 out of every 10 were somewhat not worried or not worried at all. But check out the number now. So in the most recent survey that we just completed and released for 2023, that 16% of people that were worried or somewhat worried is now 24%. So it's up a full 8 percentage points over the last couple of years. And about 3 out of every 4 are not worried. But the interesting dynamic here, Michael, is that back in 2020, the folks that were most likely to be worried about paying the rent were young people, people that are under 35 years of age. So not a big surprise, right? But now when we fast forward, there's an increasing number of middle-aged Canadians who are worried about paying the rent. And that's a big change. So the other thing is, I guess if you're over 55, you're not worried about paying the rent because or the mortgage because probably you have a small mortgage or no mortgage at all, and you know, you're on a some kind of stable income. So a lot of anxiety out there and worry about just paying the rent or paying the mortgage is on the upswing.
Just to bring this back to the federal Liberals, if it's an older age group that's now worried about housing costs, to me that suggests that that really goes into the base support group of the Liberals and could spell trouble.
Oh yeah, like it's one thing, you know, people always say, you know, a lot of young folks don't vote, so but if middle-aged people start worrying about paying the rent, how's this? I think housing is going to be the sleeper issue. Because you know, the one thing that we haven't talked about that's actually quite important is that the Liberals have also announced that they're going to bring in 500,000 new Canadians. And you know what? Whenever we do polling, people are not against immigration, they just want it to be orderly. But where are they going to live? Like if there's pressure on the housing market today, what is bringing in another 500,000 people and where are they going to live and what impact will that have on the housing market? I think this is a ticking time bomb, housing and worry about our housing policy and worrying about paying the rent. And I think the Liberals are going to have to try to diffuse this before it blows up because it could be very ugly. Because they're bringing more Canadians in and Canadians are okay with bringing in more people, but where are they going to live? And it's a pretty basic question that I'm not sure a lot of provinces or even municipalities have a plan for that.
Okay. So,
wow.
This is the second hour of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show here at Ryerson. We're talking about Canadian stuff. So, you know, and we talk about the immigration here and that process. It sounds like it's kind of difficult, unless you're Ukrainian, of course. Ukrainians seem to be getting a free pass everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the Khazarian people, mind you. I don't want to get racial or anything like that, but this is, you know, where the Zionists came from, quote unquote. I'll just leave it at that. They're being dispersed everywhere across the Western world with a free pass.
The last political party that I had any interest in, and I'm still registered as being a member, is the People's Party of Canada. Mind you, that also sounds rather communistic when you, if you were to listen to it and to just let your mind wander. Instead of the, yeah, it is the PPC. Anyway, versus the CPP, or sorry, CCP. Anyway.
Either way, you're CMPs.
Well, there's more than enough peas, but not enough people.
Yeah.
So that party is led by Maxime Bernier. He failed to get the liberal, the conservative leadership spot. The guy that he lost to is a complete sellout. He's a member of the, here's a shocker for you, part of the WEF Young Leaders. And it explains how he fumbled the ball at every possible opportunity he could have ran with it. At one point, he was leading the polls against Trudeau, and it was in the bottom end of majority territory. And he screwed up. Like, he screwed up at every available possible way that he could. Now, touched on this already with the whole thing of it being the Canadian news, the Canadian media is all bought and paid for. He's very pro. He's pro Trudeau, if you know what I mean. So, but I remember housing being an issue when I was living in Canmore. So this is about 20 plus years ago. And the cost of housing really started to outpace the rate of inflation. Government was already tinkering with the housing market to begin with. Now, Canada has the equivalent of your, what the hell is it, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, I think is what the two government entities are. We have the CMHC, Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation. And it was originally brought into existence to help World War II vets be able to buy a home. I'm sure you've heard this phrase, my friend. I'm sure you've heard it. But I'll say it anyway. There's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So CMHC has now expanded itself into dictating how much is required to have a down payment for a house. And it used to be about 25 to 30%. And it kept the price of housing relatively low. All of that, and that started to erode. Requirements for being able to buy a house were either reduced, if not outright removed, slowly, progressively, as things move with any form of oppression, but we'll leave that alone. And then they went so far as for people to be able to dip into using their retirement funds to get the money or to get the funds necessary, what we up here in Canada, what we call a RRSP, Registered Retired Savings Plan. Harper came in.
And okay, so you're talking about like getting a payday advanced, basically.
Okay, but
retirement funds.
I'll get to that. So, 2008, everyone's going to remember the housing crisis and everything else that came out of the States. It was making its way up here, if indirectly, and I know that the world economy almost stopped because of that. There was a lot of interference or a lot of tinkering, and the collapse stopped around Brazil or something. I can't remember. Brazil comes to mind, maybe it was somewhere in Europe. Anyway, Stephen Harper had decided to introduce legislation or regulations that dropped the interest rate to buy a house, dropped it down to pretty much zero. Made it as low as possible. The housing prices in Canada have gone up since pretty much year after year after year. And we don't officially have toxic mortgages as what was seen in 2008, but they're there. They're there. Any big increase in the mortgage rate will cause a lot of people to slowly, to become skittish. My mother and brother, you can look this up, in a place called Listowel, Listowel. It is really not close to anything of a major enough urban center in Southern Ontario. It's about an hour away from Guelph, Kitchener, London, Ontario, a very central southwestern city. It's within, relatively speaking, driving distance, say an hour to an hour and a half, maybe two at the most. They bought a place. And it was the same thing, that the reason why they moved out is why the other people are moving out there as well, because it's just getting more and more absolutely ridiculous to deliver on Toronto. That's part of the reason why that I'm not going back and I don't want to go back, is that I would have to have a car. I need a car that's going to be reliable, and I would have to commute probably a minimum of 1 hour in and out to have something that would probably pay maybe $20 an hour. I'm sure I could find something local to where my mom was living at the time, but I stay away. There's no way in hell that I'm going to be living out there. So they bought a two-bedroom, I'm pretty sure it's a bungalow, $900,000. So say about $700 or so U.S. And they've got half of it. They bought it for $450,000, and it's ballooned up to $900,000 Canadian. And my mom has told me that they're thinking about selling it. I just said to her, this would be your best time to do it, because then this is where it gets absolutely insane when you stop to think about it. Remember in Star Wars on the Millennium Falcon? Take themselves out of the smuggling chambers, or where they smuggle, where Han Solo would smuggle goods through.
Yeah.
Remember what Obi-Wan said? Basically, which is worse, the fool or the fool that follows?
Yeah.
So, my advice to my mother and brother would be this: is simply put, get that house on the market. Some idiot is going to buy it, and you get out and you rent. If the two of them walk away with about $200,000 each, or in total, that's $200,000 you actually have in your hand or in your possession that you don't, rather than having it on paper.
And you're good for life, for the rest of your life at that point.
Not quite, but it will certainly make life more comfortable.
Oh, well, Canadian.
It'll make life more comfortable for my mother. She is on a pension from one of the school boards, and when you get in there, you're set for the rest of your life. Although you're on a fixed income, but still, it's barely what most people don't have in Canada. There's quite a few of them. Now, my former MP, member of parliament, basically your equivalent of a congressman, Garth Turner. He wrote, I think he still has this blog out there, greaterfool.ca. Not that I'm plugging away for him, but back in the day, he was constantly talking about the stupidity of Canadians buying houses that they can't afford, because they'll be house rich, but they're going to be cash poor. So they have enough, they can make the payments, but the house is going to be sparsely furnished. You know, and there's the lifestyle and whatever else. And heaven forbid that, assuming it's a traditional nuclear family. Honey, I'm pregnant. Great. Crap. Among other words I like to use. Shite. There we go. I got to work harder, because you're going to be out. You'll be on maternity pay, but you're going to have to go back in, and then it's going to be a babysitter or daycare, which is almost prohibitively expensive. So the spouse and I have talked about this. We both have agreed at this point in time that there was no point that we could really have entered into the housing market. And because I've been quite nomadic in my past, it's something that I still want to be, which is mobile. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to rent. I have no problems renting. And this is the level of naivety, in my opinion. It's not just Canadians, but it's Americans, and it's anybody that has this delusion that, well, this is my house. I've listened to enough of Robert Kiyosaki. Say what you will about him having a Ponzi scheme or pyramid scheme or whatever. But what made me wake up, and I've really understood this, I've come to this level of comprehension when you rephrase that, because I'm not going to stand under somebody. What made me appreciate what he had to say is that, yeah, you're right. Yes, a house, it is an asset for whoever is giving you the money to buy it back from them.
That's how the housing market works, especially when you have the banks involved. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Banks, lending companies, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah, your house is an asset, but it's asset. It's the person across the table that you signed the agreement to. That's their asset. It's your liability. When a house does increase in price in terms of, shall we say, equity or the value on paper, that's great if you can tap into it. And as long as the value doesn't drop, you're okay. But a lot of Canadians use the equity in their home as an ATM to, oh, honey, we need a new kitchen, or we need to renovate, or I'd like to have a pool, or F-bombing, whatever will make one or both of the partners that owns the home, assuming it's a couple, realize we just need some upgrades. So a friend of mine that I'm tied to the hip with a couple of things, Hannah is her name. Let's call for what it is. You're renting your own when you have a mortgage. And even when you have the mortgage paid off, you still have property tax. Don't pay property tax, as a friend of mine, Wayne, had almost gone through. I mean, he grows his own cannabis, and apparently he's got some really good stuff. I don't know. I don't partake. But his mom hadn't paid her property tax in 5 years. And the city was going to, the Corporation of Calgary, was going to seize the home. So he was able to get together about $10,000. He went down to City Hall, paid it in full in cash. That was it, all said and done. But it, again, clued in with what Kiyosaki had said, or someone else had said. No, it was a book by Terrence Popp. Not by him, but it was a book that Terrence Popp had promoted. I can't remember what it was. But it boiled things down to, from a man's perspective, of that basically, like we were saying with, you know, Klaus Schwab, you will rent and you'll be happy.
Yes, give me all your money and you'll have nothing. Yes.
Well, that's pretty much what we're at right now. We're making enough to get by. I'm making enough to get by, and I have to work overtime, which is another story, which is something else completely different unto itself, but somewhat similar. But with what my friend went through, and with the liability being on my end of things, if I had owned a home, if I was to own a home, I have to now be worried constantly. Do I have enough money? What's the spending? Do I have anything? Can I put anything towards a savings plan afterwards? Well, no, probably not. You know, all of those things. And I, for me personally, I stepped out and I've stayed out of the market. And if I become single, and that's one of those things. Oh, well, Steve, you're a nice guy. Nah, 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 nah. What about your house? Well, I rent. Oh. The temperature at that table goes from 90 degrees plus, or I don't know, whatever body temperature is in Fahrenheit. Yeah, it's going to drop down to probably about, oh, say 10 degrees at the drop of a hat. And that credit card to swipe between the legs. Declined. You know, I'm going to be very I will be that much more unattractive because I don't have my financial stuff together. I don't have the status of.
Well, listen, I'm like you. I've lived a nomadic life. I've couch surfed and I've rented. I know if I were to ever buy a house, I'm buying it so that I can rent it. I myself will be living in an RV. Mm-hmm. If that turns a girl off, that's fine. I'll go pick up any girl at any McDonald's or Taco Bell and have a girlfriend there.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yep.
Free food. Still, it got somebody warm me up at night. I don't have to have a high stature girl. As long as the girl does the job. You know? She's and down with living with me in an RV, then she's the one for me.
Well, I'm ready to make that jump as well too very soon. The way that things are going right now in Calgary and just my constant desire to GTF and no, it hasn't gone away. I hate saying it, but it has not gone away at all. And it's a big, that is a very big deal for me, is that I want to be and still remain mobile. And
well, there's a whole new culture in the United States. There was even a movie put out called Nomad. It was about this woman who basically was looked at as irresponsible by her family, but she lived in her van and she traveled across the country with seasonal job after seasonal job.
Yep.
But she lived free.
Mm-hmm. And with my
That's how a lot of people are.
Yeah. And with my current employer, I can move out. I can move from Calgary to a place called Invermere in British Columbia, the other side of the BC border, Alberta BC border. I could live there because it's 150 kilometer, almost a 100 mile radius from the call center. I could live there. Problem is that it's on the eastern side of Highway 95. Not the western side. And the western side is where most of the development is. So if I ever got caught there, technically I'm out of the boundary, and it would come down to is like you move back or you get fired or you move within that border. I've thought of moving out to Radium Hot Springs. Wayne, that friend of mine had lived out there before, so I don't know what the rent is like out there, but I'm sure it's far enough away. I mean, there's a lot of places that I can live within 150 kilometer radius of Calgary. And my friend Hannah and I, she's got a line on an acre, but the guy that owns the land is using it, and he's going to be using it for people to park their RVs in over year round. As long as we live very quiet, don't draw any unwanted attention from the local thugs of the local government or the RCMP, we'll be fine. I think rent would cost $400 a month. We have to worry, we'll have to pay. He's got electricity that's now been wired to the place. There's one other gentleman that'll be living there, and he's going to be doing work for him, so he's got his income coming in very, very hand in hand. And it's about a 45-minute drive outside of Calgary, so it's really not that far.
Well, it's funny, because when I think of Canada, you know, I guess it's the old stereotype of out in the snowy woods, in a log cabin, drinking your hot cocoa in front of a fire.
Crossing the Ambassador Bridge from Detroit to Windsor, boom, it's nothing but snow. Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, if I ever moved to Canada, I mean, that's what I thought I would have to do, is buy a plot of land that, you know, generally there's nothing else but woods as far as you can see, and building your own log cabin. People don't do that anymore.
Okay. Northern Ontario, Quebec, going north. My apologies, going off on a bit of a tangent, but apparently the Martian landscape is NASA basically using a remote part of Quebec as their Martian landscape. Did they just color it? But anyway.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I found it absolutely funny. I could see that with Manitoba being very, very sparse. There are about four or five places in Manitoba that I know, and Manitoba is basically between Ontario and Alberta. There's Winnipeg. Nasty place. Would never go there. Brandon. Yeah, Brandon, Manitoba. Not Brandon as in Biden, but Brandon, Manitoba.
clear distinction.
Oh, very clear. Very, very clear. There's a town called Thompson, Manitoba. It's apparently like half native, half everybody else, whoever else is living there. And then on Hudson Bay, there's Churchill. And Churchill is known for the polar bears passing through, in and out, whatever, however you want, migrating to and from or through or whatever. That would be a great place to disappear into. British Columbia is notorious, shall we say, for being a really, really heavily treed province. And lumber is it's probably their biggest industry. I think it still is. Alberta does have the wooded area, but it's in the north part of the province. A good chunk of Ontario is still heavily treed. Quebec are considered to be heavily treed overall. the corridor between Gatineau, which is on the other side of Ottawa, going up to Quebec City, I imagine that's really has been very, very, very much developed. and then the Maritime Province is New Brunswick. It's about the size of Maine, and it borders Maine. New Brunswick and Nova Scotia will have enough trees as well. And Saskatchewan apparently as well too, but Southern Alberta, especially Saskatchewan and Manitoba, generally it's like a woman who's not so well endowed, who has an incredibly small set of chesticles, like a Japanese, chesticles being small.
All right, well, I would think, you Canadians are so nice, right? You're so nice.
Uh-huh. Such
nice people.
Uh-huh.
I would think that you get along with each other. Something I would do to screw the system and just have a complete change of culture, instead of supporting the whole slavery by property thing, being a slave to your property, being a slave to banks, why don't people... I mean, this is what I would do. If I had a house there, I would convert the garage into its own studio apartment, rent it out.
Yep.
Maybe build a couple tiny homes in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Rent those out. People shouldn't have to think that their only option is to run to a bank, get a mortgage. Which is a death contract, pay us till you die, and be enslaved to the economy, which they, are fully supporting and have nothing for themselves but some property. I would section off, I've seen people do it. One of the places I used to rent when I lived in California, it was a church converted into a multiplex.
Okay.
I had my own room, my own basement, downstairs entry, and the other part of the church, our house, you know, it was made into six different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It was like people should start turning their homes to duplexes, renting out half their homes, especially if you're retired. You know, that might be an option for your parents. You know, just install a smaller kitchen, extra bathroom somewhere, and put a wall through the house. You don't need all that extra whatever. I mean, that's something all retired people should consider doing. And the garage conversion, that would turn the heads of the establishment, the bankers, the loan people, just, oh, okay, well, nobody's buying from us anymore. Maybe we should back off and lower the prices.
You can't really do, well, okay, to lower the prices, you have to increase the interest rate, but that's going to cause a burst in the economy because it was already overinflated as it was. And I get what you're saying. I mean, I think about my grandfather's home. It was, let's see who was living in there. So it was him, my grandmother, and my mom. And at the worst of it, there was, yeah, the parents and eight kids. Six boys, two girls. That place, after my grandfather passed away, and he had all the lot on that place, I remember it was just, it was huge. It was built on an escarpment or a riverbed. And my father was a horticulturalist. And he had a, relatively speaking, he had a big garden. But that's when men were still men. You knew how to take care of yourself. There was a degree of self-sufficiency. And he grew, I know that he would have done this. He would have grown as much food as possible. My mom had a couple of rabbits as pets. She asked one day, where were the rabbits? And then she realized that's what was the stew. So, one of the more traumatic moments of her life, unfortunately, but that's how it was. It was, and I can only think, and I think the reason why that my grandfather immigrated to Canada is because after World War II finished, they were looking for anybody that was collaborating with the Nazis. And my grandfather was, he took care of the garden of the local commandant. So I'm pretty sure that he got out just to make life easier for his family. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that was the case. I'll have to talk to my Uncle Frank about that, just to ask him one of these days. See if my thought about all of that is, and I'm probably not wrong either. And anyway, but tying this in back to the whole thing of immigration, my apologies for being really, really long-winded on this whole thing, but they are connected. It's just that you have to look at it from 65,000 feet up and not be afraid of CF-18s from shooting you down. But
let's switch gears. Well, I mean, I guess this was kind of related, Mike. If we can get the LGBT community video on this one. Because this is somehow related, I think. Possibly.
Mark Campbell has opened up his bar every afternoon for decades. But soon, the back lot in Calgary may have to go dark for good.
I got a termination of lease back in 1st of November.
This block is up for redevelopment. There's going to be a 20-story condo development they want to build here.
Known as the Cheers of Calgary's gay community, the backlot is one of only three LGBTQ2S+ bars left in the city.
Yeah, we've been losing various spaces in Calgary for years. The Boys Town was next door here. Detour Arena was on 17th.
What you're seeing is the processes of what could be described as gentrification, the development of real estate, the development of condos in particular parts of cities.
It's happening in communities across the country. Hanlon's Point Beach on Toronto Island was one of Canada's oldest queer spaces. It's been used as a gathering place for more than 80 years. But its future as a safe space was also recently under threat when the city announced plans to build a nearby concert venue.
Thousands of new people who would be arriving at the space could create opportunities for conflict and discrimination and even violence.
It's a valid fear. With threats against the queer community on the rise, drag events in several North American cities have had to be canceled or postponed.
We're actually at a time where there's a new right-wing attack upon especially drag performances, but also trans people and queer people and queer youth in particular.
It really shows that we still have a long way to go, and so these kinds of places are still needed.
And so communities are fighting to save them. After a public outcry, the city of Toronto this week dropped its plans for the concert venue near Hanlon's Point Beach, a safe space preserved for now in one city, as advocates in another city hope to do the same. Heather Urex West, Global News, Calgary.
Oh, ooh. So you got the housing problem, and now you got no place for LGBT people.
Well, you know what? That's going to be really, really freaking funny. Absolutely hilarious.
How funny? Like really, really queer?
Oh, okay. I know where they are. They're not too far away from the Calgary Tower, and they're more or less a stone's throw away from where I live. Not that I go there, because I don't. Okay. Trudeau identifies as Muslim.
No, officially?
Well, he only seems to speak up when there's something that's Muslim related, and he's all over it like flies on crap.
Okay, I got it.
Or the flies picking the corn out of his crap. But anyway, you're bringing in 500,000 people a year. Yeah, where are they going to go? You have no idea how restrained I am right now with what I want to say. So if I pause for a more extended period of time, I have to reformulate my words here. You want to bring in 500,000 people. Let's just say 300,000 of them are going to be from the Muslim world. When was the last time you've really known Islam to be very friendly towards gays? I'd like to know. I mean, there's something in their Quran, I believe, that you can throw a gay man, or you can stone a lesbian, and you can throw a gay man off of a tall building.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how this is going to work with Trudeau's math. I mean, he's a liberal, so math doesn't work for him to begin with already. But the backlot. Yeah, they're not wrong by saying that there is. Wow. I normally don't stutter or repeat myself like this. Yes, there is indeed a growing backlash against the whole trans thing. And I've said this on Naroki's show, is that from what I've come to believe to be true, and I believe it is true, thanks to the KM in Ukraine, one of the tenets of the Talmud, which is a very messed up set of mysticism, is that there are 6 points of sexuality: born male, born female, attracted to opposite sex; born gay or born lesbian, attracted to same sex; sorry, homosexual or lesbian, attracted to same sex. And then it goes off on identifying as male, but in a female body, and vice versa. So, I don't have a problem. Again, you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again, my friend. I have no problem with whatever someone does in the privacy of their home, in a car, in the middle of the woods, in a motel, or if you can find a place to do it in a bar, then great. Knock yourselves out. Do not involve kids. And that's the problem. Now, unfortunately, the 2SLBGTQ+++++++++++++++, those people are being hijacked by, in my opinion, the KM, Kazarian Mafia, to usher in pedophilia. Now, for any man that likes to dress up as a woman and go and do the whole drag queen thing, fine. Great. Do not try to entice my son to go there. And you probably remember this. I'm sure you've heard about the Gays Against Groomers.
Yes. Thank goodness for those people.
Yeah. Those people are the ones that I have absolutely no issue with. Having a drag queen read to kids at the public library, and it has happened here in Calgary, there's the one by Westbrook Mall. I was pissed to no end about that, but I can't do anything. I can't go protest because I was working. I can't remember if it was during the week or it was on the weekend, but I was busy with work and I had just had no option or ability. I was not able to go and participate and express my displeasure. Whatever the backlot is all about, I really don't care. Again, as long as there's no kids that are in the basement that can be abused by anybody that's there, I have less than a fluff to give. If that establishment is indeed crosses that line, then I won't shed a tear. Not that I'm going to condone this, but I will not shed a tear if something were to happen to the establishment and it's no longer functional, shall we say. Now, I'm going to have to go off on a bit of a tangent, but it will make sense. The whole thing with Leah, Leah Thomas, you remember the swimmer?
Yes. The gold medalist first, Travis. Yeah.
Sure. I'm sorry, but until the outie becomes an innie, you're still a male. You can get your boobs done, but you still got the twig and berries, you're still a male.
Right.
The whole Leah Thomas wannabes cannot participate to compete in the women's sports events in the Olympics. And that was basically made possible or didn't happen because of enough third world countries, enough African countries that basically said, no, we're not doing this. You want to do it? Great. We're not going to participate. There was something to that effect. So the international pushback has already been established that it's not accepted basically outside of the insanity called first world countries. Now, at some point, if you're bringing in 300,000 Muslims to some degree or another, places like the backlot are going to get squeezed out, and it could very well turn into, if it turns into being more like what I could see happening in Sweden, which wouldn't be that much of a surprise, unfortunately, would I be surprised with a spike in rape and overall violent crime? No. Would I be surprised to indirectly hear that there are more gay men are injured or get into fights or whatever with these Muslim gangs? No, wouldn't surprise me at all. So the fact that, now was that Global or CBC that was the one that, no, that was CBC.
Well, you have to have a boogeyman somewhere to fight against the other stuff that you don't want.
So for now, the boogeyman is me because I am a cis white conservative male. No, I am a normal white. No, I'm a normal Caucasian male. I love pussy.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Sorry.
You like pussycats? You like Pussycats.
Sure.
I love Pussycats as well.
Yep.
Fun little critters.
And even better if there's not much hair on them. Anyway.
Yeah, let's definitely add in the cat on that one. I want to kind of segue this, because you talked about, you know, basically these elitists are trying to make pedophilia legal almost any way possible.
Yep.
There is something else that they're also trying to make legal. Mike, can you play the was it cocaine? Yes, the cocaine video.
In a nondescript-looking industrial park in Langley, you're looking at what's intended to be British Columbia's first legal cocaine lab. In a corporate news release circulated recently, Ad Astra Labs says it's been given approval by Ottawa to make and sell cocaine, and that its intention is to support the demand for a safe supply of the drug following BC's recent decriminalization of small amounts of hard drugs.
This, I think, is spinning out of control.
At the legislature Thursday, BC Liberal leader Kevin Falcon seized on the news as an example of why he thinks the NDP is doing decriminalization poorly.
The now companies are rushing to get involved in the manufacture of heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, and I just ask the question, what in the hell is going on?
We all know someone who has struggled with issues around mental health and addiction.
Coincidentally, Premier Eby was making a big announcement in Vancouver about new funding for addiction treatment Thursday, and he appeared to have been blindsided by the news. Are you aware of this project?
It is not part of our provincial plan. If Health Canada did in fact do this, they did it not only without engaging with the province, but without notice to us. So we will get answers for British Columbians about this.
We tried to do that as well, reaching out to the Federal Ministry of Health to see if they in fact gave out a cocaine production license in BC without looping in the Premier. No one from Ottawa responded in time for this report.
We're a Health Canada licensed standard processor nestled in the beautiful Fraser Valley of British Columbia.
We also tried to connect with Ad Astra, where a spokesperson said their CEO is not taking questions right now. But their news release says they're currently evaluating how their new cocaine venture fits into their business model. While BC's new hard drug decrim bill allows for users to have a certain amount, selling the drugs is still illegal. So it's unclear how any made-in-BC cocaine would reach its users. Paul Johnson, Global News.
Okay. Now, the reason why I'm making the connection between the pedophilia and cocaine, what do we see our politicians doing? They want underage girls and cocaine. They're not smoking weed. They're not doing meth. They're not trying to go find some cougars. No, they want young pussycats, and cocaine. That's every politician.
Or ostriches, yeah.
Yeah. ostriches. Oh, man.
I know how to push the envelope tactfully.
Well, there's only... I know you don't like the birds too much, especially the turkey.
Well, I like my turkey to get basted, but I'm not interested in basting a turkey myself. So that's me. That's just me.
Inside joke, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways.
Okay. I remember when this was released. And I can see why they would want to do this, but there are so many questions that comes up in terms of it all. I know that when cannabis became legalized, and that was the one Well, they say, well, marijuana is the gateway drug. I can say now that I believe that actually to be the case. If you're going to talk about this, then we have to go back to when Trudeau campaigned on legalizing pot. He loves his pot, like he likes his snowboarding and little boys and killing off his brother. But, you know, that's, you can only do that once. So from my perspective, that really isn't, it really is not a surprise. it really isn't. For a satirical essay in high school, Chrétien was the prime minister at the time. I made the proposal to legalize marijuana because, simply put, it's going to be another something else you can tax on, something you can tax people on buying. And realistically, is it any better or worse than alcohol? I guess it depends on what you're going to define as being better or worse than. But cocaine, coke, should play it. You should have had Eric Clapton ready to go for this topic. I'm just saying.
Well, there's a lot of songs that come to mind on this one. Well, I mean, I tell you the truth, I would rather if I think it would make Canada a better place. For the countries that where drugs are not criminalized, they literally have less crime happening. There's no one jacking your car stereos. There's nobody robbing other people. You just have, you know, your own honest job, and if you want to go get something, you get it after work, and you live your life as if it were like beer or alcohol. There's less crime all around in the countries.
Yeah.
I mean, I know once you decriminalize something, it's no longer a crime. I do understand that, but there's less people being victimized, and there's less addiction, there's less everything, there's less paranoia, less mental issues. Just decriminalize it.
Okay, but then if someone does overdose on it, is the person that sold it to that person, if they can trace that batch back to, is that person liable for indirectly killing somebody?
I think it would be the same issue as if you bought chicken from a store and didn't cook it, and ate it raw, and you died of E. coli.
Or whatever.
Some Drano fluid from, you know, some hardware store. Yeah, I think it runs along the same vein of these things. If you get drunk and drink and drive, you kill somebody and yourself.
You're not responsible. Okay, fair enough. But then it'll come down to quality. Where is it coming from? In Colombia, is it going to be, you know, harvested by slave labor or forced labor? Are kids involved? Well, then most people don't think about that to begin with, or the stuff that you buy that's made in China, or the Tesla batteries where it's child labor helps mine cobalt for the battery. That one is a very dicey subject. I see where you're coming from. Yeah, and what your points are valid. They do make sense. But then if you open the door to coke, what next?
Well, heroin and crack, obviously.
Well,
fentanyl. Woo, it's gonna be a party.
Oh no, and there's a new drug that's even worse, and that's mixed with fentanyl and an animal tranquilizer, and it's it's worse than crocodile, which is what the Russians had a big problem with, and that's where the skin, the flesh was being running from the inside. So Philadelphia has a problem. It's moved over to New York. I expect it's going to work its way through North America as well. You can probably thank the CIA for that one, but anyway. Just calls into question a lot of what ifs.
Well, I think it comes down to population, you know, depopulating.
Thank you. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
You've heard my spew on this. I think people should have the ability to pick their poisons, whether they want to chop off their penises or overdose. Let people pick their poisons. I just want my food unadulterated. I want my water unadulterated. I want my air unadulterated. Yeah. I want, you know, devices around me not radiate and give me cancer. I wouldn't have a choice. You know?
And thank you. And that brings me back to what I wanted to say as well, is that when C-1984 hit, and I know that this was basically across the country here in Canada, I imagine the States was no different. What was deemed essential services? Liquor stores and cannabis. Because you need to keep the population pacified with bread and circus.
Right.
So that's the only thing that makes sense to me with all of this. It's not so much that it's to lower the crime rates, because as far as I'm sure, top of the Corporation of Canada, Alberta, and whatever else.
Well, all work and no play makes me a dissenting boy.
Well, and that's pretty much it. You want people to be stuck at home, drunk out of their tree or high as a kite, and all that they're worried about is when's their next government check going to come in? Which, unfortunately, sounds a lot like what happened to the natives here in Canada, because they're a lot of them on the reserves are just waiting for that government check at the beginning of the month, and they go through, they'll spend it. I've heard of native housing on reserves that when they're built are absolutely wonderful. It's great for any average family. Give it about 3 to 4 or 5 years, it looks like part of Detroit, shall we say. So this I see as being a stepping stone for what could be implementation of universal basic income. And it'd be a great way. And then if you compound that, if they ever push through central bank digital currencies, which is controlled by the government, you can see where my thoughts go very quickly after this. Here's the problem, and it splinters off, and it just breaks up in so many points after that. And we're going to wrap it up, are we?
Let me ask you something.
We are going to have to end the show there. I forgot to mute my button. We're going to do this again. We have Erson on again, and guys are going to have to stick with us. We're going to be talking a lot more. So this has been another episode of the Ventura Hardcore Radio Show. I am host B. Remember, in the land of surveillance, man and third eyes king. Educate yourselves.
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and you hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.